This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Okay, our text for today is found in Revelation chapter 7. Really? Mother's Day text from Revelation chapter 7. Here we go. Okay, starting with verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? Where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Okay, before I go any further, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are here today, as well as those who serve as mom substitutes. You deserve to be celebrated on this day because of the incredible impact you've made on so many lives. Amen?
Amen.
Incidentally, anybody here this morning remember what it used to be like to drive a car before power steering, before automatic transmission, before air conditioning, before seat belts? Well, let's stop there for a moment. Before seat belts. Before seat belts, parents could pack 8 kids into the family car, ages 1 week to 18 years. No restraining thoughts or devices. Automobile safety is certainly much more regulated than it used to be. Today we have laws requiring children under 4 years and 40 pounds to be buckled into some sort of a child car seat. You can't even bring your newborn home from the hospital until you make sure you have a child seat in your car. For slightly older kids, there are booster seats. And with the mandatory installation of airbags, okay, now no kids under the age of 12 are supposed to be allowed in the front seat at all, for fear that the force of the exploding airbag will cause more injury than the crash. And before all these mechanical safety devices, however, you know, some of us, no doubt, grew up with a whole different kind of child restraint system.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the Mother's Day card with a picture of mom driving a car, her son in the passenger seat, her outstretched arm protectively flung across his chest, and the message said, "To mom, the original seatbelt." And yes, mom's protective reach has always been the saving seatbelt for her family. But this seatbelt takes on different forms in different families. You know, for some, mom offered the seatbelt of continuous presence at the door when they trudged off to school, welcoming them back home when they flew in the door, putting every meal on the table, shouting encouragement at every game. And for some, though, mom offered the seatbelt of role model, a mom who always worked incredibly hard at her job, at her church, at her tennis, at her family, a mom who put everything she had into all the things she did, regardless of how important or how trivial. And for some, mom offered the seatbelt of stability through new schools, new homes, new challenges, new ideas, new lifestyles, but always mom. A no-fear mom raising no-fear kids. And for some, mom offered a seatbelt of gentleness, a spirit of love and forgiveness and tenderness, always accessible, always welcoming, arms that wrapped around to provide a safe space. I think a good mother is such a powerful example of God's love. Many mothers are willing to do almost anything to communicate their love to their children. Some even try desperately to keep up with the changing styles popular with young people nowadays. Yeah, good luck with that. Reader's Digest recently published some amusing texts from children who weren't aware of the most current acronyms young people use for texting. You know what an acronym is, right? We use them all the time. An acronym is a word formed by the first letter or first few letters of each word in a phrase or a title. You know, for example, RSVP, acronym for Répondez s'il vous plaît, which is French meaning respond if you please. FBI, that's an acronym for Federal Bureau of Investigation. Of course, young people, they use acronyms all the time when they text. One mother wanted to know the meaning of some of the acronyms she had seen. So she texted her son, "What do IDK, LY, and TTYL mean?" she asked in her text message. And the son texted back, "I don't know. Love you. Talk to you later." Those, of course, were the acronyms for IDK and LY and TTYL, but mom didn't get it. And so she thought he was ignoring her with his message, "I don't know, love you, talk to you later." So she said, "Okay, fine, I'll ask your sister." Another mother texted her son, "Your great aunt just passed away, LOL. The son replied, "You know, why is that funny?" Mom texted back, "It's not funny at all, David, what do you mean?" The son texted back, "Well, mom, LOL means laughing out loud." Mom said, "Oh no, I thought it meant lots of love." Then she had a number and had to call everybody back. That's all right, mom. It's hard to keep up these days. By the way, just take just a minute. Could I have all the mothers stand? If you're a mother or a stepmom, would you stand? Just stand for a moment. Because we appreciate you. Let me pray for you real quick. Lord, I pray right now for these group of mothers. I thank you for them. I pray a blessing that you will give them strength. You will give them wisdom. You'll give them courage to fulfill their God-given assignment. Now, everybody just say, "May it be so." So we say that, "May it be so." You may be seated. That's what amen means, by the way. So you don't have to say amen, you can just yell out, "May it be so." The Beatles sang about it, "Let it be." That's what it means. There it is. They could have had another song said amen, but they made it "Let it be." So let me say again, though, that mothers, good moms, they are a powerful example of God's love. A few years ago, there was a major newspaper that asked the readers to send in stories of their mom's love. And so a woman named Donna Copeland, she submitted this short example of a mother's love and comfort. She wrote this. She said, "On my first day of kindergarten, my mother gave me her wedding ring to keep in my sock as a reassurance I would be all right and that she would return for me." Wow. Can you imagine a mother entrusting her kindergartner with her precious wedding ring? What a powerful symbol, though, of comfort. You see, her wedding ring was a reminder to her frightened child that you don't have to worry. You'll be all right. I'll be back for you. But isn't that exactly what God offers to us in the image of the cross? Through Jesus' death and resurrection, God left us this powerful symbol of comfort and that said, "You'll be all right. And I'll come back for you." Oh, there certainly are times we need to be reminded of that promise, aren't there? We all come to those times in our lives when we need God's tender care, when no one else can offer the comfort we need. There are some hurts that only God can heal. There are some burdens only God can lift. There are some fears only God can put to rest. And that's why it's with such great joy that we read the good news from the book of Revelation today that says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Listen, life is sometimes very, very hard. We don't understand why it's so hard, but it is. And now the writer of Revelation, he knew about tears. Oh, he knew all about it. I mean, he lived in a time when Christians were being cruelly persecuted. In fact, Revelation 6 indicates that during this time, many of the Christians were tortured and killed for their beliefs. And we read right there, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? You see, the apostle John, you know, who was the author of Revelation, he was in exile on the island of Patmos. He had friends and he had fellow believers who suffered greatly under Roman rule. Some were thrown into gladiator pits. Some were torn apart by wild animals. Some were burned alive. And sadly, John couldn't be present with them to comfort them in their sufferings. He could only pray and weep on their behalf. And you know what? Sometimes that's all any of us can do. That and maybe offer a word of much needed encouragement. I'm reminded of a story I read recently of a young man named Douglas Maurer. Douglas is a 15-year-old boy from the other side of our state, and he'd been feeling bad for several days. His temperature was ranging between 103 and 105, and he was suffering from some severe flu-like symptoms. So his mother finally took him to the hospital in St. Louis, where he was diagnosed as having leukemia. The doctors told him in very frank terms about his disease. They said that for the next 3 years, he would have to undergo chemotherapy. They didn't sugarcoat the side effects either. They told him he would go bald and his body would most likely bloat. Well, when Douglas heard this, he went into a deep depression. His aunt called a floral shop to send Douglas an arrangement of flowers to cheer him up. She told the clerk that it was for her teenage nephew who has leukemia. And when the flowers arrived at the hospital, they were just beautiful. And Douglas read the card from his aunt. And then he saw a second card. And it said, Douglas, I took your order. I work at Brick's Florist. I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I'm 22 years old now. Good luck. My heart goes out to you. Sincerely, Laura Badley. And immediately, his face lit up. It's interesting, isn't it, that Douglas was in a hospital filled with millions of dollars of the most sophisticated medical equipment. He was being treated by expert doctors and nurses who had medical training totaling into the hundreds of years. But it was a sales clerk in a flower shop making $170 a week, who, by taking the time to care enough and being willing to go with her heart, to do what her heart told her to do, that's the one that gave Douglas the hope and the will to carry on. You know, sometimes all we can do is pray and weep, offer a word of encouragement. And what we need to see is that God does all of that and even more. In our time of need, God comes to us with his love and comfort, if we'll accept it. John writes, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Yes, yes. Somebody does care. The God of all creation, the God of the heavens and the earth, the God of everything that moves and everything that breathes, that great God, he's the one who cares about your hurts and your needs, and he cares about your concerns and mine. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Notice how personal and intimate that word picture is. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's like a mother holding her child in her arms and giving comfort. Oh, a cynic among us might say that we're just trying to create God in the image of man. And if that's true, blame it on Jesus. After all, didn't he teach us to pray, saying, Abba, Father, Daddy? So let the cynics scoff. For the God of the Bible, in spite of all his power, in spite of all his might and his majesty, the God of the Bible has the tender heart of the most loving mother and father. It's like the grandmother who was proudly displaying two photos. One was a picture of her daughter and one of her new grandson. And yet, there was a deep pain in the grandmother's face as she shows off these two pictures because her daughter, you see, had died giving birth to her grandson. And then a friend comes up to admire the pictures. And this friend, 2 months earlier, had buried her own son. She can feel the grandmother's pain. And she takes her friend's face in her hands and simply cries with her while all she can say is, I know, I know. And you see, God came in human form in the person of Jesus Christ to share our pains. And he's the great comforter because he does know our weaknesses. He does know our heartbreaks. And he came to wipe away our tears as he says, hey, I know. I know. And there's another thing I think to notice from our lesson in Revelation. This intimate love of God's is being expressed towards a very special group of believers. These are those who have come through the great tribulation when there was much suffering for the cause of Christ. And these are the ones whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and now they're dressed all in white before the throne of God. And he personally wiping away every tear. It's important for us to understand that God's promises are to a very special group of people. Many of us have a mushy kind of faith. A faith that says, everything's all right. Jesus loves me, this I know. It doesn't matter what I do with my life, he always forgives. I mean, that's what God does. That's what he's for, to forgive. And I think this attitude, it may have maybe best been emphasized in a little song that Simon and Garfunkel sang a long time ago on a soundtrack of a motion picture, if I can talk, a motion picture called The Graduate, many decades ago. Some of you remember. Do you remember the song? Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you can know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, Mrs. Robinson was an adulteress. Mrs. Robinson was morally bankrupt. Mrs. Robinson was a representative of a bored and dissolute modern style of living. Oh, but that's all right. Jesus loves you more than you can know. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, right there. Or as the Old Testament prophets would say, whoa, whoa, W-O-E, whoa. Please note, the God revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos is no dispenser of cheap grace. Amen. The love and concern that God gives to each of his children has been bought at a terrible price. It should never be trampled on, never taken for granted. Too often, we're just like the little boy who says to his daddy, "Let's play darts, Dad. I'll throw, and you say wonderful." That's what we want out of God. Tell us we're wonderful. Tell us we're accepted and we're forgiven and we're loved. But don't tell us that our robes are dirty. Don't tell us that they need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I find it interesting that psychologists today are telling us about tough love. Many parents today seem to think that they are loving their children when they give them no guidance, make no demands upon them, let them do anything they please. Well, let me warn you, such love is usually rewarded only with resentment. Love is never a monologue. God's love is all encompassing and it's exhaustible and it's everlasting. But in order to experience that love, we must be open to him. We must be doing our part to maintain the relationship. We must seek to give our best if we want to receive his best. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Yes, but those words are directed only to a select fellowship, only to those who have given their all to him. But I think there's one more thing to be said. If God has ever wiped away the tears from your eyes, shouldn't you be finding someone else who's hurting and do the same thing for him or her? God's love is surely a very intimate, personal love, but love is a two-way street. Love is at its best. You know, it's not only between us and God, it's also to be shared. It's particularly with others who also have tears in their eyes. A father named Dave Brannon, he writes of a pain of losing his 17-year-old daughter, Melissa, in a car accident. Among those who've lost loved ones, most agree there is no greater grief, no greater loss than that of losing a child. Dave says he's gone over the events of that awful night so many times in his mind, wondering what he could have done. Could he have done something differently to ensure that Melissa would get home safely? Dave calls this the land of what if. He says in reality, though, the land of what if is not a good place for any of us to be. It's a place of regret and second guessing and hopelessness. And while the grief is real, the sadness endures. Life is better, and God is honored if we will dwell in the world of what is. Choosing to live in the land of what is means remembering God's promise that he will never leave us, never forsake us. It means holding fast to the promise that Melissa is with God and that she will never again experience tears or sorrow or pain. In the land of what is, Dave remembers that our God is an ever-present help in trouble. And in the land of what is, Dave finds fellow believers who offer him comfort, offer him strength when he needs it the most. So let me ask, which land have you been living in recently? The land of what if, where you feel trapped by despair and hopelessness? Or are you living in the land of what is, where you find your strength, you find your hope in the God who promises to wipe away every tear? Through Jesus Christ, God offers you love and comfort now, and unshakable, undeniable hope for the future. The question is, will you believe and accept that love today? I pray you will. Because just as your mom did when you were a child, God has the ability and the desire to wipe away your every tear. Will you bow your heads as Pastor Alex comes to lead us in prayer?
As we prepare to pray and with your heads bowed, I want you to think for a moment and picture this. I have a 3-year-old son named Max. And when Max gets hurt, he cries. And he snots a whole lot. And as a parent, I'm concerned about where the snot goes. And so I quickly grab a tissue and I come and I try to wipe his nose. And in the midst of trying to clean him up, he says, "Dad, wipe my eyes. Wipe my eyes." I'm not real concerned about his eyes initially. I'm concerned about the snot and now the drool that's collecting on his shirt and the fact that we're going to go in public later. But I find myself at a place where I do wipe the tears from his eyes. And the moment that I choose to wipe the tears from his eyes is the moment I want my son to see me clearly. I don't want him looking at me distorted because of the tears. I don't want him looking through his pain to see me. As his parent, the moment I wipe the tears from his eyes is when I want him to see me clearly in the love I have for him. And in the same way, as we've just heard, our Heavenly Father wants to wipe away every tear so that we don't see him distorted, that we see him clearly as he truly is. We don't live in the what ifs. No, he wipes our tears away and brings us into the moment where his love is real. With that in mind, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. Number one, for wiping the snot and cleaning us up when we're a mess. But Lord, you don't stop with just cleaning us up. You don't stop with just forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness, which is a task that only you can do. But Lord, you go the step further and you wipe away every tear. And with those tears removed, we're able to see you for what you truly are. We thank you for cleaning us up. We thank you for your forgiveness, but we thank you more than anything for loving us. And just, Lord, as you have shown us that love, may we take the challenge that Pastor Morris given us today, and may we go to those that we know who are in pain. May we go to those who are hurting, who are in despair. And Lord, may we help wipe the tears away so that they can see you clearly. Lord, we love you and we thank you for being our perfect heavenly parent. No parent has shown greater love than you have for us, your children. We thank you for the mothers that are here today. Lord, you are the creator, but you've allowed them to be able to be a part of carrying new life and nurturing new life. Lord, we thank you for inviting us into a place of being a part of procreation and recreation. Lord, we don't deserve that, but Lord, may we remember that it's a gift from you and that we should honor you in how we carry ourselves as parents. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. And God, we ask a special blessing on every mother in this house. And as we leave here, Lord, may you wipe our tears away. May we see you clearly. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.